Thank you for listening to the Alliance Church podcast. We desire to connect you with God and one another, whether here in Wisconsin or around the world. Let's listen into this week's message.
Hey, good morning, everybody. My name is Logan Brunstein. I am our pastoral resident out here in Hortonville, and I am so excited to be able to preach this morning. But first, I need to be honest with everything. Can we be honest that it is hard to continue to trust in Jesus, right? It's hard to continue to trust into Jesus in this reward in heaven. You know, this eternal reward that we can't sometimes see, that we can't feel, and it becomes hard to trust this process. And so I'm going to continue to kind of ask a lot of questions today. And so I just want you just soak it in. Soak it in like a little sponge. And so my first question is for anyone that is probably older than me. And it is, you know, how long did it take to save up for a mortgage? 2023, the real estate, I need to start knowing now, right? So I can buy a house in 2048, right? So I need to know, right? Like, how long did it take for you to have to save up? You know, or maybe you had to save up to buy a car or education. You know, did it take months? Did it take years? You know, what were those sacrifices that you had to make? And then along with that, like, how disciplined did you have to be in your spending? Because if it's like me, I make $10, but I spend about 30, right? But I know you have to put your focus on something that's in front of you, something in the future that you can't tangibly grab, something you can't tangibly touch, something that it's out there and you have to put your focus on it, right? If you're saving up for a house, you're not currently standing and living in that house. If you're saving up for a car, you're not currently driving that car. And so I've never had to save up for a mortgage, but one time in my life, I consider this my first mortgage, I had to save up money for a new bedroom. So I wanted a new bedroom. I shared a room with one of my brothers. We only had three bedrooms in the house and we had three boys. And so who was the one that always had to share? I always had to share. And so in eighth grade, I finally sat down with my parents and I said, hey, I'm sick of living with the messiest people in the entire world. I need my own space, right? And I think some of you parents can probably relate to some of this conversation maybe. And so I sat my parents down and they immediately said, good one, good try. Like, you're not gonna get your own room. And so I had to come back and I had to compromise with my parents. And I said, okay, if I save up X amount of money, then can we build my own room? And they said, yes. And so I had this little townhouse coffee pot. I had it sitting on my desk in my room. And so I would throw in all kinds of loose change, birthday money, mowing money from mowing lawns, you know, every dime I could find, whether it was from my parents' change jar or not. I would try to find something. I've already been forgiven for that. But finally, I had saved up enough money to be able to build my own room, right? But it didn't come easy. You know, I had to count costs. I had to discipline myself to continue to look to the future because in eighth grade, I wanted to go and get ice cream every day from the gas station, right? Or I wanted to go on a little trip with my friends to go watch a basketball game. But I had to say no because it was either I can spend my money on that or I can look to something in the future for something that's gonna be better, like my bedroom. And so, but it becomes hard because it's easier to just kind of throw in that towel, right? If you're driving a car and you want to get a new car, it might just be easier to say, you know, this rusty piece of junk, it gets me to point A to B. Sometimes, but it does the job, right? Or if you're in a house or an apartment, you know, I'm comfortable. You know, I don't have to have a house. You know, it becomes easy to just instantly go to some instant gratification. It becomes easy to supplement ourselves into just instant gratification instead of disciplining ourselves and trusting the process to something in the future. And then it becomes even harder to keep then our focus and our trust in Jesus and his promise of eternal life when we're living here on earth. All right, and so my question to you today is what would it look like? What would your life look like right now if you focused just a little bit more on Jesus? Just a little bit more. What would your life look like if you focused your finances just a little bit more on Jesus? Or your work, or your family, right? Or your hobbies. What would your life look like if you just focused, right? You turn that focus knob just a little bit more on Jesus. Because if we decide to live for here, right? If we decide to live for here, we're going to miss out on everything that matters. You know, the life we live here on earth is, it's temporary. It seems like it's going to go on forever. I think my life's going to go on forever. But our money, our education, our spouse, our life here on earth is temporary, right? Because everything on earth has an expiration date. There is a date written for something to expire. You know, your last breath is gonna happen. You know, our money isn't gonna go on forever. You know, but Jesus promises to us that he's not going to expire. He doesn't wither away. And so when we put our trust into Jesus, we won't have that eternal regret on missing out on his reward, which is living in his presence. And so there's this man in the Bible named Moses. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he is a man of faith that continues to live his life in a way that he is looking towards that future reward in Jesus rather than what he has around him. And so Moses was kind of born in this time of where the Israelites, who are God's people, they were enslaved by the Egyptian army. Okay, they were enslaved by the Egyptians. But Moses got adopted into that family, and he was able to live in the palace. All right, so Moses had it made. Moses had all of the power, all of the money. He got to eat name brand cereal when it wasn't on sale, right? So he got everything he wanted, but he could see that there was something more. And in Hebrews 11, it provides this overview of his life. And so listen to what it says here. It says, Hebrews 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. You know, by faith, the people crossed the Red Sea on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. Will you pray with me? God, we know it's hard to trust you. You know, we know it's hard to trust in a promise that you've made when we can't see it, when we can't touch it, but we have to discipline ourselves to look to the future. God, this morning, allow the words from Hebrews, allow the story of Moses to provide us with this hope, with this endurance, to be able to choose to put our faith in you and to look to that eternal reward. In your name we pray, amen. So there's 3 points that I want you to see in this story. The first one is Moses chose faith in God over the luxury life in the palace. The second one is Moses wasn't focused on the things of this world, but on the reward God had for him. And then that third point, Moses persevered with faith through trials by looking towards God's promise. So that first point, Moses chose faith in God over the luxury life of the palace. And in Hebrews 11:1, it's probably the closest definition of faith that we have. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And so faith is this assurance of invisible things in the future. So faith is this way of living life, putting trust into something you can't see now, but you're hoping to see in the future. Okay, so Moses chose to put his faith in God. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, he refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. And so the Egyptians during this time, they had everything. They had the best of the best. Their palace or their castle, you know, whatever you want to call it, was huge. It was elaborate. They had probably 5 or 6 pools. They had statues and artwork that were just made out of pure gold and silver. And the food, I mean, if you wanted a medium rare steak on shrimp, like you were getting a medium rare steak on shrimp. Like, you got whatever you wanted. It was a lifestyle of getting whatever you want whenever you wanted it. I mean, I'll take that lifestyle. That sounds pretty good, right? But Moses wasn't about it. Moses understood, and he's like, I'm still empty. I'm still hungry. I'm still left feeling wanting more. So Moses decided to look past what was in front of him. He decided to look outside of himself and to put his faith in Jesus, because he knew that these pleasures were gonna end, right? You could only eat so much food. You can only drink so much wine. You can only have so much money, to where it's like, well, now what am I gonna do with it? And so Moses understood that living a life towards Jesus was going to fulfill so much more than what Egypt had to offer. So that leads right into point number 2. Moses wasn't focused on things of this world, but on the reward that God had for him. And so in horse racing, jockeys will put blinders on their horses. They'll put these little cups is what they kind of look like. And it forces the horse to now only look forward, right? So then the horse won't get distracted by something next to it, something over here, or something behind it. The horse is forced to focus in on something in front of it. So Moses knew that he had to put his focus outside of the gates. He had to put his focus outside of Egypt. He had to put his focus outside of anything this world had to offer, because he knew that the reward in heaven would prove to be the greatest reward for him. So it says, by faith, Moses, he considered abuse suffered for Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. Why? Because he was looking ahead to the reward. Moses knew that anything that the palace had to offer wasn't even compared to what Jesus had. He knew that the joy that Jesus had was going to be a greater joy than anything else that Egypt had, and he knew he was going to have to suffer abuse for it. He knew life wasn't going to be easy. He knew he was going to have to suffer in order to have an eternal joy. And Jesus tells us in John 16, he says, very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn, but the world will rejoice. Right? You will weep and mourn, but that world will rejoice. You will have pain, but your pain will turn to joy. When a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when her child is born, no longer she remembers the anguish because of the joy of having brought a human being into the world. So you have pain now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from me. So we're going to face suffering. Life is going to suck. But when we put our focus and our trust in Jesus, we are given this promise of a joy that won't ever be taken away from us. And so that leads us right into point three. Moses persevered with faith through trials by looking towards God's promise. In verse 27, it says, "By faith, Moses left Egypt, unafraid of the king's anger, for he persevered as though he saw him, Jesus, who is invisible." And so when Moses and the Israelites left Egypt, when they were given the opportunity, when Pharaoh said, you know, all of these plagues are enough, and they left, and Pharaoh's like, oh my gosh, I just lost 1.2 million people for free labor. I got to get that back. And so he now is sending his army to go and chase down the Israelites to bring them back. God had brought the Israelites this kind of roundabout way, and they are now stuck. They are now at the shores of the Red Sea, and they have this entire army coming at them. They're at a legit, you know, rock in a hard place. You know, you can either try to swim and die that way, or you can go back and become a slave, or if you're lucky, or you're going to be killed in the attempt of getting recaptured. So Moses had to put his trust and faith in God. He had to focus in on this promise that God had made that he would save his people. And so Moses calls to God, and God tells him to open the Red Seas, to lift up his staff, and all of a sudden the Red Seas part. And the Israelites walk right on through, and they get safe to the other side. And the Egyptian army tries to come through, and the waves come back in, and they crush that enemy. No, but I don't think any of us are going to Egypt anytime soon and are going to be chased by the Egyptian army and getting trapped by the Red Sea. But what will happen is we will have to persevere through trials. There's going to be things in life where you don't think there is an absolute way, where there's going to be things in life where you don't even know who to put your trust in anymore because you don't know what the next day is going to bring. And one of my toughest trials in life happened probably about a year and a half ago. My grandpa died following a surgery that 99% of people survive. He was here one day, gone the very next. And my grandpa was a man that I had looked up to, a man that I called my hero, a man that I sought advice for almost every day. He was a man that I loved making memories with, and he was gone the next day. And so life became lonely. It felt pointless. I had no energy to get through the day. I didn't care to go through my day. So I went into this kind of depressing hole of despair. But there was someone sitting in that hole waiting for me. His name is Jesus, and he was sitting there waiting for me, and he was waiting for me to just put a little bit of trust in him. Just to call on his name. And Jesus, all he did was give me enough energy to get through the next day. Because by 9 o'clock, I was ready to just crash and go to bed. And then the next day I would wake up, and I had just enough energy to get through the next day. And Jesus then also proceeded to bring two people into my life that provided me with a loving home that I could come home to and just be myself. And Jesus also then provided friends that were there sitting and wanting to ask questions and how I can get through each and every day. And then Jesus provided me with two different men that continue to ask me questions and to help me just process what is God's plan? What is this future reward? Why is his plan greater than my own? Why should I have to put my trust into Jesus When the one thing I didn't want him to take away, he took away. He could have taken everything else in my life away, but he brought my grandpa home. And so I had questions and I had thoughts. But by trusting that life here is temporary and that there is a reward in heaven, and a reward that's greater than anything this world has to offer, provides that everlasting joy that we will get when we go to heaven. And so, but how do we now do this in 2023? How do we consciously turn that focus knob just a little bit? Just a little bit in our lives. Because Moses taught us that faith is a choice. It's this lifestyle of choosing what palace are we going to live in. Are we going to live in a palace that's focused on money or fitness or sex or sports? You know, what palace are we going to focus on? And so Moses shows us that faith is this conscious daily commitment of focusing our lives and living for God today in order to live for heaven tomorrow. So Moses was in this lifestyle of sex and money and power and greed, and he said, there has to be more. There has to be. And I see people who have all the money in the entire world and yet they still want more. I see people who have all of the power, who control everything, and yet they still want more. And so Moses took his trust and he put it in this promise of God. He made a conscious daily commitment to just focusing his life on God. And so this week, actually today, what I want you to do is I want you, when you get home, grab a piece of paper, grab a pen, and I want you to write down everything that consumes your focus. And I want you to kind of be specific about it. So if it's, you know, every day I have to make a cup of coffee. Okay, that right, cup of coffee. Or I have to take the kids to school, or I have to drive to work, or I have to make dinner, or I have to do this or that. You know, whatever it might be, I want you to just write it down. And then spend 20 to 30 seconds praying about each one. And I want you to pray and see and ask God, hey, God, how can I, when I'm making dinner, how can I focus just a little bit more on you? God, when I'm watching the Packers lose to the Vikings at 3:25 today, how can I focus just a little bit more on you? How can I focus on you. And then I want you to take that piece of paper and I want you to put it on your fridge. Because if you're anything like me, the fridge is your best friend. And so I want you to be able to see that and have a daily reminder. Then in just one thing, focus a little bit more on God. Whether it's your morning commute, whether it's when you're drinking your cup of coffee, maybe it's when you're brushing your teeth at the end of the night and you're getting ready for bed. Now, how can you focus just a little bit more on Jesus? And so I'm going to leave you with that question I proposed a little while ago. You know, what would your life look like? What would your life look like right now? What would your life look like in January 2023 or in February or through March or through the entire year of 2023? What would your life look like when you're standing in your house or your apartment or wherever you are on December 31, 2023? You know, how drastically would your life look different if each day you just focused just a little bit more? Just a little bit more on Jesus. Let's pray. God, we thank you just for today, for bringing us through a whole nother year, for bringing us through 2022, whether we had some of the highest moments in our lives or whether we had some of the lowest moments in our lives. God, we thank you for continuing to be with each and every one of us. God, as we enter into this new year, help us to continue to just focus, to trust you just a little bit more each and every day, to just focus our lives a little bit more on you each day. God, we can't ever thank you for the blessings that you've provided for us. God, we just ask that as we enter into this next year, we ask that you just continue to be with us each day. That as we look into the future, as we look towards this future reward in heaven, that we continue to keep our focus and trust in you every single day. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. Would you stand and receive this benediction? Thanks, my brother. I'm eager to make my list and spend 20 to 30 seconds praying over my coffee and my commute and so on. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'Thus you shall bless the people of Israel.'" That's God's people. "You shall say to them, 'The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.' And so shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." May God richly bless you. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next Sunday.